thank Sam for filling in recording today. Neither Zach nor Mike could be here today. So if you go out to re-listen to this broadcast and you pick up Charles Stanley, just know that Sam got the wrong channel. All right? But rumor has it Charles Stanley's a pretty good speaker too. So continue to listen to that. Total transparency this morning. One of the spiritual disciplines I personally struggle with as your pastor is prayer. Although I struggle, I got to tell you, I am far better than I used to be. Many years ago, a friend of mine from Dallas Theological Seminary, Ron Blue, showed me how he prayed. And it literally transformed my prayer life. This Tuesday night at prayer meeting, I'm going to share what Ron shared with me. So if you struggle, if you're like me and you struggle with a consistent prayer life, I'd encourage you to come Tuesday night at... Do you have something over the screen, Sam? It's not working. My clicker. There we go. You got it. Give him a little slack. Don't be groaning for him, all right? Be praying for him. Melissa would appreciate your prayers for him, too. But anyway, that's another topic for another time. But be with us Tuesday night at 6 p.m. I'm going to also share with you some things that I pray for that actually help me in this spiritual discipline as well as my own personal life. Now, I know there's some of you here that praying comes as natural to you as eating and drinking. And if that's you, I would encourage you to come as well and maybe share some of those things you do to keep your prayer life vibrant and active. Prayer is important because remember, God commanded us to do this. He said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And you know what happens when we do that? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, I'm a guy that likes to go to bed early at night. I go to bed about 10 p.m. because I like to get up early in the morning to do my quiet time with God. When I get up, usually the first thing I do is I find my phone and I look at the front of it to make sure I didn't miss any calls during the night or miss any texts that I need to address first thing. But this one morning, this week, I saw a text from Newsmax that they had texted me overnight and wanted me to give me a free book. Now, anytime anybody sends you a thing that says free book, it's like that guy that sends you, I got $2,500 million for you in a bank in Asia, all right? Just send me an email and your bank account and I'll deposit it for you. So I was a little leery. Anyway, the book they wanted to give away was Dark Agenda, subtitled The War to Destroy Christian America by David Horowitz. In the book, Horowitz talks about a broad range of issues from removing prayer to from our schools to the globalist mindsets. He looks at how the anti-Christian movement has its roots in communism. Yet when the communism empire fell, progressives did not give up their dreams of getting God out of not only out of a society, but out of our lives. He discusses how the communists and progressives in our country have infiltrated our government and have rebranded their movement as social justice. And it continued to go on. I thought to myself, you know what? With this new progressive administration coming in, I should order this book. And I should read it to get their specific plans of attack. But before I ordered it, God told me to go to my quiet time. And the title of my message today is this: God is there. God is there. This morning, I'm going to start with a story from the Bible. Then I'm going to repeat something I very rarely, in the 21 years I've been here, very rarely do. But I'm going to repeat a devotional I gave in prayer meeting back on November 23rd, 2011. And then we're going to close with another story from the Bible, and then we'll be done. Right? So you know where we're headed this morning. As I thought about this book, Dark Agenda, as I viewed the direction that the new administration wants to take our country, as I watch as people turn against people, as our country spirals out of control, I started to become anxious in my heart. I used to be a news addict. I could be. But since the election, I tell you, I've just had to walk away because of the anxiousness that comes to my heart. So as I was thinking about that this week, instead of ordering the book, God took me to 2 Kings chapter 16. You don't have to turn to it, all right? But if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to put the passage down in your notes. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. Here's the backdrop to the story. The king of Aram sent a strong army to capture Elisha, the prophet. When Elisha's servant woke up and went out of his tent and saw this army, can you imagine how he felt? No, you can't, unless it's ever happened to you. But he is petrified. Yet Elisha knew something that the servant did not. And here is our first story from the Bible this morning. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. Immediately, my mind went back to that text that I got that morning, offering the free book. And then I thought, you know what? I don't need to know all the plans and evil thoughts of man. God then, after I was thinking through that, God then directed me to that message I gave in prayer meeting some 10 years ago. I think it will be good for all of us this morning to remember that Jesus is more than just a lamb. Jesus is a lion, and he can take care of his church. And he can take care of you. Which leads us to the message that I gave in prayer meeting. Have you ever been there, like maybe the servant? You're just overwhelmed with what you see coming. Or maybe it might be a presidential election has gotten you upset. Or a pandemic. It could be relational issues or money problems. Children not walking with God. An unsaved or an ungodly spouse, and you feel surrounded by them, and you ask yourself the question, where is God? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that God is there. Whatever you're facing this morning, wherever he's coming at you, wherever you've been, God is there. Now, I gave everybody that came in this morning, you should have got one, a half a sheet of paper. So I'd like you to take it out at this time. Normally, I don't make you take notes, but I think what I'd like you to do is everybody do it. Because this could fit in your Bible. This could fit on your, some people put memory verses on their mirror so that they can memorize them. Wherever you need to put it so that when you feel overwhelmed or when you feel discouraged or you're paranoid about a pandemic or about a political party, God will use this to encourage you. So, it's very easy. For you that were at prayer meeting back then, maybe you might even remember this. But I want you to draw a stick figure. All right? Doesn't have to be fancy. Obviously, mine's not. And mine was so bad, I copied this one. All right? So, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. But I want you to draw a stick figure on the half sheet of paper. Now, we all know We all know that God resides in heaven. But we also need to understand that God is not confined to heaven. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 says this: when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." If you are gonna, you and I are gonna walk before God, where does that put God? Behind me. That's right. God is behind me. So write God. All right? Write God and put it behind you. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4 says, "It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him." If you're going to follow God, where does God have to be? In front. That's right. So put God in front of you. We got God behind us. We got God in front of us. Psalms 19, verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." If we're going to be under the shadow of the Almighty, where does God have to be? Where? Yeah, above us. God's above us. God's behind us. God's in front of us. Deuteronomy 33:27 says this: "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you." Where do we find God here? Where? Yeah, we're underneath his everlasting arms. So God is under us. He's over us, he's under us, he's behind us, he's in front of us. And Genesis 6:9 says this: "This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God." Where does that put God? Right beside us, right? So put God beside you. God is beside you. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 8 says this: "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is," this is one's pretty obvious, "because he is" where? "At my right hand, I will not be shaken." So God, put God at your right hand. Job chapter 23, verse 9 says, "When he works on the," in order for God to work where? On the left hand. Where's he going to be? On the left hand. So put God on your left hand. "When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him." Job 23 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives" where? "In me." Put God in you. Put God in you. And if that's not enough, listen to this. The psalmist writes, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Psalms 34:7. Put a circle around you and call that circle God. Going through a difficult time? You feel all alone? You don't know what to do? Do this. Look behind you, because God is there. You afraid of something that's coming at you? Look in front of you, because God is there. Someone's kind of attacking you from the side. Look there. God is there. He's over us. He's under us. He's beside us. He's at our right hand. He's at our left hand. And for those of you that know Christ, He's in you. When we choose to live our lives in the presence of God, it really does change everything. Which brings us to another story from the Bible. A Bible character that we looked at last week. Anybody remember who that was? That was only 7 days ago. Right. Who did we look at last week? Yeah, Joseph. Very good, class. We looked at Joseph last week. Anybody remember what we talked about? What's that? Yes, we talked about hope in the dark. And if you weren't with us last week and you find yourself discouraged, or you're looking for hope in your life, or you find yourself in a situation that you just seems to overwhelm you, then I'd encourage you to go to our website, centerbarnsteadcc.org, and go to past sermons and find hope in the dark. Now, Joseph, most of you know the story. We see in Joseph's life that things got much worse before they got better. Now, how did Joseph flourish when his family, not his enemies, but his family, sells him into slavery? When he was falsely accused and put into prison unjustly? What kept Joseph from becoming bitter or angry at God, or even walking away from God and giving up on him? Two things, and then we're done. First one is this. Joseph lived in the presence of God. Joseph lived in the presence of God. Joseph arrives in Egypt with nothing. Oh, he might have had a few rags for clothes, but probably not. Yet, when we get to Genesis 39, we see that Joseph is overseeing the house of Potiphar. Potiphar, who was in charge of all Pharaoh's security. Now, how does that happen? How do you go from being naked with nothing to now being one of the most powerful men in Egypt? Well, Genesis 39 tells us. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian masters. All right, hold on just a second. For some reason, I can't read the screen. Must be my water. Who put something in my water I'm drinking? You did? Oh, Meredith, I should have known it was you. Let's try this again. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered and lived in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owns, the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Genesis chapter 39, verses 2, 3, and 5. Joseph succeeded because God was present. God was over him. God was under him. God was beside him. God is in front of him. God was behind him. God was all over Joseph. And Potiphar saw it. Because Joseph lived in the presence of God. Secondly, Joseph knew that he could trust God. Because Joseph lived in the presence of God, Joseph knew that he could trust God. Probably the most familiar verse in this story of Joseph is found in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, that says this: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Satan sets out to do Joseph harm. Evil surrounds Joseph. But because Joseph knew that God was present, he knew that Satan was no match for God. God, the master builder, he took what Satan meant for Joseph's harm and redesigned it and made it to be good for Joseph. Please understand that if you want to do something for God, you present a challenge to Satan's plan. Yet if you and I choose to live in the presence of our circumstances, or in the presence of our difficulties, or in the presence of our problems, then we will give Satan an opening to either neutralize us or mute our influence altogether. When we choose to live our lives in the presence of God, God may even allow us to become a Joseph in this generation. As a Christian, it's not that we're not safe. It's not that we're not safe and protected. It really comes down to how will we respond to that protection. Be thankful. Be thankful today because God is there. And because God is there with you, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears of today and worries about tomorrow and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to verse 39. Let me just close this morning with just something very practical, how we can apply these things to our lives. I will preface, okay, let me just preface this first though, all right? I'm not encouraging you to go to a weekend retreat where people all have COVID, all right? I'm not encouraging you to do that at all. I'm not telling you that you should be a slouch at work, all right? I'm not telling you that you can live a selfish and unholy life and expect God to do the things that He does. But let me say this. When we are living in the presence of God, it changes how we look at things. If you're a person, and I know there are many people that are, but if you're a person that believes that everyone should wear a mask at all times, and someone without a mask comes close to you or comes less than the 6-foot boundary, you don't have to get mad. You don't have to be afraid, because there's something greater than a mask protecting you. In order for that virus to get to you, it has to get through God's circle of protection first. But if it gets through God's circle of protection, then you know that it's God's will for you, and it will be good. I know what it's like to invest your life and the life of your family into a ministry, to do the best job that you could, to fulfill their expectations, and yet have them tell you that they no longer need you. when you understand that that did not happen without going through God's circle of protection first, it takes away all the anger and the bitterness. A friend or a family member may betray you. You're taken advantage of. All your plans that you have planned out, maybe for years, have fallen through. Your president was not reelected. You name it. Whatever it is that's going on in your life right now. Yet, even in spite of those things, when you and I choose to live in the presence of God and realize that nothing comes to you before it goes through God, it makes it much easier to obey God when He tells us to do this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you fall, you face trials of many kinds. James chapter 1 and verse 2. When you and I choose to live in the presence of God, then it really does take all the stress out of life, because no matter what you're facing, you know that God is there. Maybe you're here today and you've never come to a personal relationship with Christ. You're not promised that protection. No, God is all those places. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's simple to change that. Now, it wasn't simple for Christ, but it's simple for us. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, all you have to do is admit to God what everybody in your world already knows, that you're a sinner, that you've messed up. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins and my sins and for the sins of the world. But not only did He die, but in 3 days God raised Him from the dead. So that when He raised Him from the dead, He broke the power of sin, He broke the power of death, He broke the power of Satan. And He provided, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you've never received Christ, you can do that today. You can ask Him on your own, or you can see me or Judy or Pastor Sam. We'd be happy to share with you how you can have that personal relationship. You can have that circle of protection so that nothing happens to you without God's approval. And it just makes life so much more enjoyable. Stand with me. We're going to close with a song this morning. Chris Tomlin's song, Whom Shall...